number 95, Psalms 95, as we preach tonight, we pray that it will be a preach. I don't think I've preached this before. I might have. I don't remember that. But Psalms 95, the Bible said in this place, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." This is singing. And we're supposed to sing to the Lord. That's what it's all about. When we come together and we sing songs unto the Lord, that's what it ought to be. When we sing together, we ought to sing to the Lord. That's it. All right? He is the rock of our salvation. There's none other but Him. He is a solid one. I'm glad that He's more than a stone. He is a rock. A great, big, gigantic rock that just is more than we can stand. I mean, He is more than we ever even thought about. In verse number 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my way." Boy, that's a terrible condemnation that He places upon this people, the nation of Israel. But may God not put that upon us. He may deal with us a long time, but I pray that God would see us willing to obey whatever He's got for us. I pray we might be humble before Him, because He's the God that we ought to worship. They have not known my ways, in verse number 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Here the condemnation is that because they have not known the ways of God, they saw His acts, but they never did see His ways. Because they never did see His ways, they would never enter into His rest. Isn't that a terrible condemnation? That's it. I mean, that's it. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we begin tonight. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that You might take Your words and use them upon us. And Lord, I pray we might be found right before You in everything. Help us, Lord, we might be able to worship You, because You are an omnipotent God. You're the one that we must abide with. And Lord, I pray, Lord, tonight that we might be right before You in everything. Just forgive us now for our many sins. Help us to be faithful to You and to You always. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I'm glad that God is our rock. There is none like Him. You know, the Bible says in verse number 1, notice these words, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." You know what singing is? That's making a good melody, right? But notice what He says next. "Let us make a joyful noise." You know what noise is? It's a big racket. You know, "Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a sound unto the Lord." Let us just Let us bear our souls before the Lord. Let us not hold back anything at all. But let us be true to the Lord. That's what he's really saying here. Because God is the one that we ought to worship. He is the one that we ought to serve. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I'm glad that he is a rock upon which we stand. A rock, you can either stand on it or it'll stand on you. Which way is it going to be? The rock is a foundation for us. It's the foundation for our life. It's everything for us. But if you don't stand on the rock, it will stand upon you. And it'll crush everything about you. Boy, what a statement that is. Just to think about that being very, very so. It's absolutely the way it is. We're either going to be for the rock or we're going to be against the rock. You know, he will either be real good to us or, on the other hand, we can be greatly offended by Christ. Christ don't want us to be offended at all. Look what it says in the book of Matthew 11. In the book of Matthew chapter 11. The Bible says here in this place, Matthew 11 and verse number 13 is what I put down. But that's not the one. Well, I don't see it. So let's just not look at that one. You know, people that were offended by Christ were some of his neighbors. They're some of his friends. The people that were offended at Christ were some of the people even at Nazareth. They were offended at him. The chief priests and the rulers were offended at Christ. The whole Jewish nation, as it were, was really offended at Christ. But let's not be that way at all. He is our rock. He is the one that we're trusting. He's the one that we depend upon. There's no other rock but him at all. Look in the book of Isaiah 28 and verse number 16. You know, a long, long time ago, this happened, I think, before I ever pastored anywhere at all. I preached a series of messages on the rock of Christ. And I thought about that. I don't have any outlines about that at all. But I remember preaching that series on the rock of Christ. And what a strong rock that he was indeed. And he is still for us today. But there's many passages in the Old Testament that talk about Christ being the rock. He's the strong one. He's the one that we lean upon. He's the one the nation of Israel was built upon. He's the one the nation of Israel trusted in. If they're going to be saved at all, they're the people that he trusted in. In verse number 16, Isaiah 28 and verse number 16, the Bible said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." I'm glad that God said he was going to set a foundation, and the foundation is a sure rock. I'm glad today that we worship a God that we can depend upon. Through troubles and trials, through tribulations, through whatever comes, you can trust in the Lord God. Nothing ever happens to you but what God does not mean it for good. everything that happens to you. And some things I just don't understand at all. Why they even happen. But they do happen. But God means that so that we will learn more and more every day how we ought to rely upon God and trust God. That's what He's saying. Look with me again. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, as we think about this rock and how great that it is. In Matthew, chapter number 7, as Jesus Christ preaches here the Sermon on the Mount, here's what He says. In Matthew 7 and verse number 24. Matthew 7 and verse number 24. And here, you got a choice. You have a choice. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Here is two ways of building your life. You can either trust in the rock of ages or not. The Bible says in verse number 25 that the same problems come upon the saved and the lost. The same issues affect all of you. That's what happens. But the Bible says, as the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Listen, the house didn't stand because it was founded upon itself. No, but the house stood because it was founded upon the rock of ages. The rock is Christ. The Bible said in verse number 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And notice in verse number 27, the same thing happens to those people that trust in the Lord and those people that don't. Exactly the same things happen. The Bible said, verse 27, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? Listen. It fell because it was not founded upon the rock of ages. That's it. I mean, that's our hope, is what Christ has done for us. It's not anything else. Trusting in the Lord to bless us. We need Him. He's the only one we've got. He's the only one we've got. But God can take care of everything. He is our real foundation. He is the one that we build our lives upon. Whatever God wants us to do, we ought to be willing to submit ourselves and do that. Whatever it is, the world may say, well, that's a silly thing to do. Listen, we need to do what God tells us to do. Simple as that. Look in the book of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible tells us here that we ought to do what the foundation wants us to do. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. The Bible said here in this place, take heed how we build our lives. Listen, we need to be careful about this. You and I are building on our lives every day. We ought to always build upon the foundation that Christ is for. Look at what the Bible said here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. But verse number 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Here's a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But look what the Bible said in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That's revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's when God looks upon that with His eyes aflame, He will judge us, because the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he build their own, he shall receive a reward. That's what the Bible said. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Plain as it can be. We need to build our lives on the rock of ages. The same rock that the psalmist talks about is the same rock that we're talking about. We ought to build our lives upon this rock. Look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. I tell you what, I'm glad. As just as this verse says, I'm very, very thankful that the foundation hasn't changed. I'm very thankful it hasn't. There's a lot of things that changed. Some things have changed for the better. Most things have changed for the worse. That's just the way it is. But I'm glad that God doesn't change. Men today have a new way of worship. They do. They have a new way of worship. But that don't mean God has changed. We might change. But that don't mean God has changed. What God expects of us, He expects of everybody. I mean, that's the way it is. In verse number 19, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal." And there's two things here. This is the seal of God, showing that the foundation of God never does change. Number one, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." And that's the ones that God deals with. Think of this. That when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness, there were two groups of people there. There were two groups. There were people that followed God and people that didn't. We got exactly the same thing today. We need to follow God and put God's Word and His will ahead of everything else. And do always what God wants us to do. The Bible said in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure." Don't worry about the foundation. We got to be worried about how we build on that foundation. You know, we need to build the way that God wants us to build and no other way. The Lord knoweth those that are His. Number two, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." All of us need to, because we believe in Christ, we ought to depart from iniquity. Look in verse number 20. "But in a great house, but not only vessels of gold and silver." And that's true, isn't it? In a great house, there's vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of stubble and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. But they're all necessary. "If a man therefore purge himself from these," that's from ones that are dishonorable, "he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I'm glad that God is the rock. I'm glad that tonight that we're worshiping the Most High God, who knows exactly what we need, and none other. That's exactly the way it is. Look in Matthew 21 and verse number 42. Matthew 21 and verse number 42. As we think about this rock that Christ really is. Matthew 21 and verse number 42. Matthew 21 and verse number 42. Here, Jesus Christ is given a parable. He said in verse number 33, Matthew 21, verse 33, "Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it, built a tower and let it out to husband, and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servant to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it.
The husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come. Instead of honoring him, they said, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what would he do unto those husbandmen? And the Jews said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen who shall render him the fruits in their seasons. I don't think they knew what they were saying. That's my opinion. Because they were the wicked ones. The Jews were. In verse 42, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, that is the Jews, and given to the nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but whosoever shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's like Jesus Christ is a rock. I mean, He is a rock. It's up to us to always do what He wants us to do and be very careful that we always obey the Lord. And not just to do what we think. Sometimes what we think is not what God would have us to do. Sometimes it's very reasonable to us. We do it always what God wants us to do. In the book of Ephesians 2 and verse number 20. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 20. Notice here that we serve the Lord by faith. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 20, that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I've said before, who's the head of our church? Jesus Christ is supposed to be. We're supposed to be following His directions, not mine, not yours. Not what you think, not what I think. Rather, what God says in His own holy word. That's what we ought to be obeying. That ought to be the motive of everything we do. Everything that we do ought to be to glorify the Lord. That's what it ought to be. And not just to suit ourselves at all. In verse number 22, the Bible said, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, He is the chief cornerstone. Look up 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 6. The Bible said here in this place, I tell you what, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And if we ever get away from this fact, we've got a real problem. We've got a real problem. In 1 Peter 2 and verse number 6, read this. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Boy, that's a great promise that God's given to us. If we just trust the Lord and do what God wants us to do, we'll never be confounded. Verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto you which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, wherefore also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what God said about the rock. That's some about what He said. There's much, much more that God said about the rock. Back in Psalms 95, Notice what he said in verse number 1. David said, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." He is a great, great God. In verse number 2 of Psalms 95, he says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Sing psalms. There's other songs I know we can sing as well. We ought to sing. Everything that we do ought to be to glorify and honor and praise the Lord God, because He is one that is the rock of our foundation. He's the one that your life is built upon Jesus Christ. Everything they did for us, we owe Him much gratitude, much, much more than we can ever pay back. We owe Him. The Bible said in verse number 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." He is over every king. There's none like Him at all. Verse number 4, "In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also." You know why? Because He spoke them all into existence. That's what the Bible said. He spoke them all into existence. The book of Psalms 135 and verse number 6, the Bible said this. What this psalm is about is that we ought to praise the Lord, for He's very, very great. In verse number 6 of Psalms 135, the Bible says, "Whatsoever the Lord did please, that did He in heaven, in earth, in the seas, and all deep places." Think about it. That whatever the Lord wants, He will do. Whatever He wants of our life, whatever He wants of your life, God will do. It is what God wants of us is to submit to Him. He will give us grace. He'll give us peace. He'll give us enjoyment as we submit to Him and not do what we want to do. Rather, we do what He wants to do. God can give us much more pleasure in just obeying Him than in anything else. Wow. Why should we not thank Him? Why should we not praise Him? He is a great and a mighty God. The Bible said in Psalms 95 and verse number 5, "The sea is His, and He made it, and His hand formed the dry land." He is the Creator. There's no doubt about it. That I know that a lot of people don't want to believe that today. They don't want to think that God is the Creator. But He is the Creator of this world. Look in Psalms 102 and verse number 25. The Bible says this very clearly. Psalms 102 and verse number 25. Psalms 102, verse number 25. Verse Psalms 102:25. He says, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure." Think of that. All this earth will pass away, but God will not. "Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture, thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed." You know, I'm glad. I'm glad of that. The earth, the Bible says, shall change, shall be changed. "As a vesture, thou shalt change them." So when's that going to happen? When God destroys this earth with fire, and He makes a new heaven, a new earth. You know why He's going to do that? You know why God, in all of His greatness, He's going to change this earth, burned up with fire. You know why? It's because it's got the stain of sin upon it. You're going to destroy it and make a brand new one with no sin at all. Boy, that's what the Bible says there in the The Bible said, verse 27, "But thou art the same, and thy years should have no end." Understand that? No, I don't. But I know that it's true. We serve a God that will never, ever, ever change. This world does change. I mean, things on this earth will fall apart. But God won't. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that we worship. That's the kind of God that we can sing with all the melody that our noisy voices can produce. That's the way it is. Because God is God. Look back in the book of Psalms 95 again. The Bible said here, Psalms 95, and verse number 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Let us just kneel before Him because He has all power. You know, think about kneeling. When you're standing, you have some power because you can do some things. But when you're kneeling down, you're submitting to Him. That's what the Bible says. When you're kneeling down, you can't fight very good. But when you're standing up, you can fight real good. Alright? That's what the Bible says. We're trusting in the Lord. He is the one that's taking care of everything. In verse 40, verse number 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture." Boy, that's the truth. We're the sheep of His hand. We're to submit ourselves to Almighty God. He is God. He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture. Wow. We are the sheep of His hand. He is the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. Strange thing in verse number 7, at the end of part of verse number 7, here's what it said. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Don't do that. Listen, is God speaking to you? Is God saying anything to you? Does God have anything on His mind for you to do? Are you listening to what God has to say? Don't be like the nation of Israel. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible goes on, verse number 10 says that. They wandered for 40 years. 40 long years was God grieved with that generation. Because they had their own way. They had their own plans. They would not submit themselves to Almighty God. They couldn't see it. They could not see it. Don't be that way. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. You never go wrong following God. Listen. Sometimes we want to see it first. But listen, if God has laid upon your heart to do a certain thing, you ought to do it. You ought to do it. When I was saved, I never anticipated the Lord called me to preach. I never anticipated that. But God did. I'm just saying that you don't know the end of your life. You don't know what's going to happen next. But you need to be submissive to Almighty God. And let God deal with you. Harden not your heart. In verse number 8. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. That is in the day of temptation, the day of strife. Don't do that. As in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Don't be like the nation of Israel. There were Israelites that were submissive to God. But as a nation, they went away from God. Therefore, had to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. And they all died. That generation died. Don't be like that. At all. You have one life to live. Only one. That one life will soon be passed. Only what you do for God will last. That's it. You can't bring it back tomorrow. You need to be true to God today. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation. As in the days of temptation in the wilderness. Don't be like that. Verse number 9. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. Listen, don't see the work of God. See more than just the things that God does. But see His ways. See more than just His acts. But look at what God intends for you to do. And some things God wants us to see. That we'll only see by faith. Stepping out by faith. And doing by faith the things that God wants you to do. Stepping out by faith. And doing it. You know, I remember a time. Years and years ago. When this church stepped out by faith to support me as your pastor. I remember that. I remember all I had then was this fellowship hall right here in the middle, right here, right downstairs. Everything was down there. And the church met Sunday afternoon or some night, something like that, to discuss how this is going to pay me. And I just left. I said, whatever you want to do, it's fine with me. It don't make any difference at all. That's what I told him. I want you to speak your mind about it. I didn't want to be here. I want you to be free to speak your mind. I didn't want to hear it at all. It wasn't the day that it was decided that they need to support their pastor monetarily. And boy, I tell you what, you've done a good job. You really have. You've done a good job. Supporting your pastor with funds. At that time, the church had supported some 40 some odd missionaries. But the church decided that they would rather support their pastor. And that's what you did. And you had me write a letter. And I wrote a letter to all those missionaries. We got one reply back. Man said, you're doing right. The rest of them didn't say nothing. When it came time to pick it back up, we couldn't find but a couple of them. That's where it is. I'm just saying, look what it says in verse number 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Don't let the Lord be grieved with you. Don't let the Lord be grieved with you. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, do it. And here's what God said about these people. He said, it is the people that do err in their heart. What was their problem? Their problem was in their heart. Their problem was that they wanted to see first before they ever did anything. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to serve Him from our heart. God wants us to just turn loose and do what He wants us to do, period. That's it. That's it. And they have not known my ways. They knew His acts, but they didn't know the ways of God. A terrible thing. The Bible said in verse number 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. I pray that God will never say that to us. Unto whom I swear in my wrath. You know, look at the strength of the statement here. Unto whom I swear in my wrath. This is what God said. I am swearing in my wrath that they shall never enter into my rest. And what? Those people didn't either. Those people died in the wilderness. Be true to God. But all of this starts out in Psalm 95, verse number 1, where he says, "Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." I pray that we might be able to really sing unto the Lord and worship Him, for He is God. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that caused our church to have the strength it has. He's the one that we trust in. We don't trust anything else. We don't trust in you or me. We trust in the Lord. That's what it's all about. Well, that's all I've got. But if you're lost tonight, we pray for you that you might see Jesus Christ precious to your own soul tonight. I can't save you, but I wish I could. If I could save you, I already would. I tell you what, plain simple as that. If I could save you, I already would, but I can't. Jesus Christ can. He is really, really and able to save you. He wants you to come before Him and simply repent and trust Him. That's it. Come as a sinner with no good at all and rely on Jesus Christ, because He can wash away your sins. He can take care of you. Trust in Him is our prayer for you. Okay, Brother John, you should come, please, as we sing. As we stand and as we sing, pray that the Lord help tonight that we might be what He wants us to be.